Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com, click become an EPP, and thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, military duty takes a young soldier from home and causes her to miss her grandmother's funeral, but grandma makes the journey to visit her. A listener describes her fall an inexplicable landing that was sure to be certain death. Unusual electrical activity seems to be following a listener. Plus, a spirit becomes very upset when he is offered liquor instead is given water. It's not a very fun ghost. No. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
He got pissed off pretty quick.
Wow. So he was upset because he got booze.
No, he was upset because they offered him booze and then they gave him water.
Oh, I see. I was misreading it in my mind.
Okay.
I read it correctly out loud, but my mind processed it in a different way.
No, he got mad.
Okay. Well, there you go. That might be a ghost with a bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Looks like an interesting story here today. Of course, your calls, your emails, you can get them all to us multiple ways. On the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or giving us a buzz, 855-853-4802. That's how you share with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. What?
Yeah.
What are you giggling about?
Nothing.
Do I have something on my head?
No.
Hair?
A spider.
Yeah. No hair. Our little one today, or the other day, said to me, "You know, Daddy, sometimes grown-up boys have hair."
In case you didn't know.
She's just connecting these dots. I'm like, "You're right, honey. They do. And they're all assholes." No, I'm kidding. I didn't say that to her. But it's just kind of funny the things that she observes.
Mm-hmm.
But there you go. Kicking off our show today, we are going to go into a letter from Rachel. Rachel writes, and this is a sweet ghost story that begins in December of 2001. I had been planning to join the military and went to basic military training despite 9/11. Actually, at that time, I became more resolved to serve. At that time, my grandma was very sick with cancer. She was nearing death, and I left knowing I may miss her funeral. It was a very sad time. Grandma had raised me after my dad passed away. Mom was always working, so to not be there in grandma's final days was a big deal. I left before Christmas and began my training. A few weeks before I was to graduate, I had a very real dream. It was of a family reunion of sorts. Grandma was there, healthy and happy. All her grandkids were running around her as well. I was gravitated to her, but was hesitant because I knew she was coming to say goodbye. I'm not very sensitive, but can tell when something tragic happens to loved ones. I knew before my uncle died that he was gone and woke up to watch as my mom heard the news late one night. I knew when my stepdad and my dog were in a bad car accident. I knew the moment my son had died, when my friend was suicidal, and also when something happened to my other grandma. I don't ignore that sense of urgency anymore, no matter how it comes. I was sad and scared because I knew she was a ghost. I'll always regret not embracing her one last time and telling her I love her, but I'm sure she knows. The next day I was pulled aside by my training instructor. You may think of a drill sergeant and my squadron commander. They pulled me into the commander's office with a chaplain, and I knew what was coming. How could I say I already knew? They would have been shocked if I told them she's already told me of her passing. So I sat there and listened and tried to fake the initial shock, but the sadness was very real. I didn't go home for her funeral, but I got closure that is much more precious. I got to see her and talk to her one last time, and always be very grateful for that.
I think that's great that she doesn't have to live with the guilt of not being there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, she probably still doesn't feel that great about not being there, but knowing that the grandmother came to see her to kind of have that one last moment.
That the connection was there and that, that moment was able to be had. So, yeah, that's one of those stories you get where, and she's not asking for any sort of explanation, obviously, but sometimes you get it like, what do you think it meant? It meant your grandma came back to say goodbye.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. No more, no less. That's exactly what it was. It was a good ghost story, as described. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can call in your stories there, or as a lot of them today are written in through our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Tell Us Your Ghost Story, and there you go. Next letter. Hi, guys. Wanted to share a story with you. I have more, but thought this would be a good place to start. This happened to me when I was in high school. It was a hot summer day, and I, along with a group of friends, decided to go to the beach. When we arrived, we decided it would be fun to climb around on the cliffs above the beach. It was a stupid idea. The cliffs are hundreds of feet high and shale, which is very crumbly rock. We began to traverse the super sketchy face of the cliff. There were at least six of us, and I was tailing the group with every step taken by my friends in front of me. More and more of the shale loosened and crumbled away, clattering down the cliffs towards the beach below. We came upon a partially precarious section of the cliff, and everyone stopped briefly, and there was a short discussion over how we should proceed. Ultimately, it was decided that if we scramble along it quickly enough, we would all make it across. One by one, we began to cross, and everyone made it safely, until it was my turn. The stress on the shale face caused it to finally give way as I attempted to cross. I felt all the rock below my hands and feet detach from the cliff and shoot me downwards, quickly. Within seconds, I was out of sight of my friends, and I was sliding, skipping, falling out of control. I was moving fast, I'd guessed 30 miles an hour or faster, down towards the beach below that is littered with giant, sharp boulders that are 30 feet high and higher. At some point, I flipped around so that I'm now sliding on my butt instead of my stomach and can see where I'm headed. I see a rock on the left that I plan to grab on my way down to stop myself, but when I reach, I find that I'm moving much too quickly, and instead I ricochet off and continue even more quickly now that the cliffs steepen. I'm falling now, skipping like a stone on a pond along the cliff face. I see nothing else to stop myself on, no relief, only the beach and jagged rocks below. I say to myself, this is it, and I closed my eyes. I wasn't scared or panicked, I was calm, peaceful even. I felt the warm sun on my cheek, then inexplicably, I stop. I didn't slow down, I didn't hit anything, I simply stopped. I opened my eyes to find that for no reason at all, defying all the laws of nature and gravity, I had somehow come to a very gentle and complete stop on a perch only big enough for my rear end. I looked around me, and there were no other horizontal surfaces visible. I was still about 60 feet up. People had gathered into crowds on the beach below, and I could see them pointing at me and talking to one another. I was stuck on the cliff face, but I was alive. It took only a few minutes for my visibly shaken friends to find me and help me down. They thought I was dead. I had fallen over 300 feet down a shale cliff and sustained only scratches, albeit deep ones, but they never left scars. I often wonder what it looked like to the people below when I stopped falling. It's obvious to me that someone or something was looking out for me that day. Thanks.
That is amazing that there was something that stopped her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it was, probably some sort of guardian angel was looking out. But
that's a ghost story that technically doesn't have the ghost in it, but you know, something paranormal or supernatural was there to cause that to happen like that.
Right.
Because not that anyone would ever do this, but if you were to take 100 more people and have them all do the same fall, I bet next to none of them would land in that exact same spot.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you can't really prove that.
Or stop at, you know, once you get that motion going, you know, it's kind of hard to stop if anybody's ever rolled down a hill, which is very different than what she happened to
sure.
go through. But still, it's very much, you get that started and it's hard to stop.
Oh, you can't just stop the momentum. I mean, especially with that small of a space, you would slide forward. And why she didn't slide forward beyond that little cliff there is something that then falls into the realm of there's something very unexplained happening there. So thanks for living to tell the story.
Yeah.
And there you go. Your purpose in life has now been completed. You got your story out. So look out. It's Final Destination from here on out.
No,
I'm
it's
kidding.
Not.
Beth writes, and hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm an EPP and I love the podcast. I wanted to share a story about my grandma. I'm the oldest grandchild and was very close with my grandma. She was a huge prankster and loved playing tricks on family members, and she particularly liked to scare us when we were kids. My grandma, we called her Mama, died of brain cancer when I was 25. Because we were so close, I had a really difficult time dealing with the personality changes caused by the tumors and just generally watching her deteriorate. This, combined with me being 200 miles away, led to me not visiting as much as I probably should have in her last days. Although I did see her right before she died, I felt guilty that I had not spent more time with her at the end. About 6 months after she died, I had the strangest dream. I heard a knock on my front door, answered it, and there was my sister with a box full of stuff. She told me she was leaving her husband and was moving in with me. We walked into my bedroom and she sat the box of stuff down. She proceeded to take a lamp out of the box and set it on the desk unplugged. The lamp turned on, still unplugged. I looked into the hallway from my bedroom and there stood my grandma with that mischievous grin on her face that we all knew so well. She laughed and walked down the hall and vanished. I immediately woke up and could smell her perfume so strong in my bedroom. She had never visited me in that apartment, and I did not own anything that smelled remotely like her perfume. I like to think she visited me so I would stop worrying that I disappointed her by not visiting more often. Thanks for reading, Beth.
Okay, so that whole thing happened in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And she woke up and she could still smell Grandma. What happened with the sister? Did she end up leaving her husband, or?
Yeah, that's like an odd piece to this story.
And I'm just wondering if that's a, you know, premonition type part of this.
Sure. Just a little piece of extra validity.
Yeah.
Other than just the perfume smell, which is a pretty good one.
Right.
You know, you wake up, you smell that. And then suddenly, you know, maybe the next day the sister calls, hey, by the way, I'm leaving my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that is part of the story as well. If not, that's kind of weird. Like, what is that part, you know, doing in there? But I would imagine that it probably is tied in, and it's probably almost one of those things where it's so implied to this person who's sharing the story that it's, you know, it's just second knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, yeah, I forgot I have to share that part.
Right.
Too, I would guess. But it would be interesting just to hear that extra little piece of confirmation there. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Now, having been able to expel a ghost...
Uh-huh.
It puts it in a lot better perspective for me.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't know if my sense of smell is not what it used to be when I was younger, but it takes a pretty potent smell for me to pick up on it. I'm not a great smeller.
You're always congested because your allergies are always out of whack here.
Yeah.
And you're always complaining about having a cold. So I would imagine you don't smell as well. Or you can't smell as well as you used to.
Yeah, there's a lot of times we're in the house and it's someone of the four of us has made a toot. And
someone of the two little ones.
Yes, of course. It's never us. We are the infallible farters.
It's the little ones.
And usually it's like, can you smell that? And I'm like, I don't smell anything. but there's very few things I can smell. I can smell chocolate chip cookies when they're baking, usually. Mm-hmm. I can usually smell food if it's cooking, if it's really, you know, but it needs to be pretty strong. Other than that, I don't know. Like, I do smell smoke if there's, you know, but it's I don't pick up on a lot of nuances very well anymore. That was one of the strongest smells I've smelled in a long time when we were at that antique store, and there was that distinct tobacco pipe smell, and then it just vanished.
It's because it was a smell with an intent.
It makes me wonder, you know, if it was, when people smell things that are from the dead,
mm-hmm.
for lack of any other way of describing
not
this.
Not smell the dead, but things from the dead.
Things from the dead. Yeah, not smell the dead, but things from the dead. That's kind of bad. When you have that scent of grandma's perfume or grandpa's pipe or whatever, what have you, is that on the same realm of, this person didn't say that to me out loud, or that ghost I saw didn't say this message to me out loud, but I heard it. Mm. I knew it. It just came almost telepathically. When those things are happening, are we actually smelling them? Like, if there is a way to measure scents in the air, and there's probably some way of doing that scientifically, with just, you know, residue of some sort, is it actually in the air? Or is it more of a telepathic thing where it's hitting your sensory glands and that's or whatever, and it's telling your brain you are smelling this even though it's really truly not in the air? Like, if you were able to measure the air where we smelled that tobacco, it would not show up on anything even though we were smelling it.
I think it's hard to know for sure, but the way that they can make you see things that you're not seeing with your eyes, that mm-hmm. you're seeing with your mind, I would venture to guess that the same could happen with smells, and just bypass the whole actually make the smell and see if they get it. Just boom.
That's what
tobacco
I wonder.
Smell. And, you know, too, I think that would help explain why when we turned around, you know, a few seconds later, the smell was completely gone. Like, it was never there.
Yeah, because if it was a real smell and it was like, ooh, let's emit this smell,
mm-hmm.
it would linger.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was gone. That and me not being able to smell a whole lot of things very clearly, that was such a clear, distinct smell. I knew exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just, oh, I kind of get smoke, or I kind of, it was, that's a pipe, and it's pipe tobacco specifically.
Right.
And I haven't smelled that for, I don't know, probably 20 years. But I just knew exactly what it was. So, and this, the clarity of it is why I asked that question of, this was like almost beyond smell.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone smells something like that, that is very distinct, I wonder how much of, if that's how it's being transmitted to us.
Could be.
So, it's something interesting to think.
Yeah.
Gabriella writes in to us from the ages of 8 to 13, I and my family lived in this house in the middle of a hill on a private road in Kentucky. There are so many things that happened, mostly to my little brother, which would take a little while to write it all. Well, one night during the summer, me and my brother had been up all night, and when he went to the bathroom, he turned the light off so my mom wouldn't know we were awake. It was about 6 in the morning. Normally we'd have turned the light on, so I don't like the dark, but I was reading Twilight and figured my brother would be back soon. I started getting this weird feeling and was about to leave the room when I heard a girl say, Gabby. I was frozen for a couple seconds before I got up to get my brother. He had screamed right after I heard the voice, so I said, Alex, did you hear that? And he said, no, someone just banged on the window really hard 3 times. Of course, then my mom came out and sent us to bed. She never believed us. She says back then she didn't want to believe we were living in a haunted house, but eventually too many strange things happened for her not to. And whatever it was didn't want to hurt us because we were all okay. It did like to scare us, though. Cabinets and doors would always open by themselves. We'd see my little sister talking to nobody. My little brother and mom would have dreams about the same dead girl. And one night, something was choking my brother until my other brother put a rosary around his neck. There are many more things that happen. This is just the scariest thing for me. And today, nobody can tell me ghosts do not exist because there's no other explanation. I'm just relieved we're no longer in that house.
Okay, the mom seemed to think the ghost wasn't bad, and it choked one of the kids.
I suppose your definition of bad varies.
I kind of think that maybe it was a bad ghost.
Yeah.
So that's not a good thing.
No, I would think. It makes you wonder how much she was shutting out, though, because the way that it was described, if mom didn't want to believe it was anything was going on.
Okay, I'm totally going to be judgmental here. And parents that totally ignore paranormal activity and things like that because they don't know how to deal with it and they put their kids in danger, mm-hmm. I have no respect for. Now, if you don't know what to do, that's one thing. But mm-hmm. if you pretend that everything's fine, la-di-da, and Timmy's getting choked in the next room, things are not okay. That is not okay.
Can we...
What?
Someone should tweet that one. Hashtag shit Jenny says.
Thank you.
I gotta recount that. If Timmy's getting choked in the next room by a ghost, things are not la-di-da.
Something like that.
I would have to go back and listen to the tape, but it was good.
Okay, thanks.
There you go. Thank you, Jenny.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. I mean, and it's one of those things where if your kids, you know, tend to make a lot of shit up, and, you know, it's like, but it's one thing if, like, you have fairly good proof that there's some shit going down or they're visibly shaken constantly. Not just, yeah, I saw a ghost. It was really scary. You know, to the point of they're crying, they can't, they're inconsolable, and there's scars on them. There's a big difference.
Right. And, but, you know, not everybody knows how to handle these things, and I don't fault any parent for not knowing that. That's not something you're just given when your kids are born, how to handle ghosts, but...
Making the attempt.
Yeah.
Making the effort is really what it comes down to. Not just dismissing it just because you're too scared of it or don't know how to handle it. Try. Mm-hmm. Just try to handle it in some way. That's all. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802. I didn't make that hashtag up. One of our listeners did.
Okay.
That's why I thought it was funny.
When you have hashtags, okay, how mm-hmm. does that work?
That's when somebody is searching for something. So when you see hashtag shit Jenny says, you can search that on Twitter. And then you'll find anything anyone is quoting from you if they hashtag it with that.
I'm going to go see what kind of crap's out there.
I don't know how much there is. I just saw it like once or twice in my life of searching on Twitter, which I don't search all that often. I just saw in our feed that somebody had, you know, said that. I'm like, oh, that's a funny hashtag. So I don't know. You know, it may just be the one.
Okay.
But we could make it a more popular thing if any of our listeners would like to continue this. It's very funny.
I bet the stuff I say is not going to stop.
So. next letter, Mai writes in. Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Mai from Minnesota. Been a while since I wrote in, but there's a mini ghost story that I'm still trying to decide whether if it is a ghost story or not. I did a little research after the Lightful event I experienced, and it did say that it could just be a person's kinetic energy. But I'll still tell you the story because it did scare the crap out of me. Last month, I was on my way to work and had to stop for gas. While filling up my tank, the light above me started to flicker, then it blew out. It was the only light that was on at the gas station that blew out, and for a slight moment, I did think it was strange. In the end, I didn't think much about it and went on with my day. I went to work and was retrieving some documents from an empty office when the light right above the door began making a static noise and began to flicker as well. At that moment, I had this childish thought that crossed my mind. Even now, when I'm thinking about it, it seems so stupid, but I had this thought about snapping my fingers and seeing if the light would go out. As I went ahead with the idea to snap my fingers like the childish person I am, the light turned off at that exact moment. I was a little dumbfounded and was in disbelief. This did not just happen. It was what I was thinking when that light flickered back on. I even went on to switch the light on and off multiple times to try and see if there was anything wrong with the lights. I gave up and was still dumbfounded by the event. Now, as I was on my way home and still thinking about what had happened that day, the street light in front of me flickers and blew out, which startled me. Keep in mind that it's 6 p.m. and already dark, being that it is winter and is usually dark by 4 p.m. I don't think everyone would turn off the streetlights at this point. But even if they did, it wouldn't affect me, or wouldn't affect more than just one streetlight. Anyway, this was the first time this happened to me, and it did scare me quite a bit. It hasn't happened since then, so I'm fine with it. Ghost or no ghost, I don't think it's a ghost, but my brother thinks it is. Let me know what you guys think about it. Thanks.
I'm thinking more about the slider phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if May's familiar with that.
Were the lights flickering or turning on and off, or whatever the electromagnetic fields that some people seem to possess that interact with lights?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would almost go down more that road, though.
Yeah, that's maybe what I'm thinking.
Hard to tell if it's a ghost or not, but for some people, that tends to happen. I had it happen to me all the time when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I could almost drive down a street. I had driven down a street, and I watched them go, mm-hmm. and it was very, very weird. It doesn't happen to me so much anymore, and I don't know if that has to do with, you know, a teenager and the energy and all of that, if that, you know, triggers it more or what, but I don't know. I haven't had it happen to the level that it used to.
Sure.
Every once in a while, a streetlight, but when it gets to the every once in a while, I attribute that to there's a lot of streetlights out there that I pass, and the odds of one going out are probably fairly good.
Yeah.
But it was like clockwork.
That's just weird. That would freak me out.
I'd say probably from the age of about 14 to 18, 19.
Yeah.
It's pretty good at turning streetlights out. I couldn't like point at them and go, turn out. But anywhere I went, and I went for a lot of walks. I always walked at night. And I don't know, I look back like, how safe was that? I don't know. It was fairly safe areas,
well,
I think.
Especially if you don't have streetlights.
Yeah, well, as I went out half the time, yeah. There was one place I liked to walk around in Wausau when I lived there for a year. And I look back in this and I go, I probably wouldn't do that again. But it was a neat little walking trail that, and Wausau's not really a dangerous city, but you never know who the hell's lurking in the dark. But I would walk down by the river. And there was this neat little walking path, literally through a little wooded area. And I would walk that from downtown and then into a city park, which, again, fairly safe, I think. At least, I don't know, 2001 it was, or 2000. And then I actually, this was more of a crazy part, that I'd actually walk through the woods at night sometimes with no streetlights there. But walking through that little path down by the river, there were lights. But oftentimes, yes, they would go out as I would go walk.
But I don't think I'd do any of that.
Now, today, probably not. At this day and age, I wouldn't advise it.
No.
You know, you just don't know who you're going to run into. Because very rarely did you ever see anybody down there. So, in the event you did run into somebody you didn't want, that's a little creepier. But there's me being young, dumb, 18-year-old with my headphones on and my CD Walkman.
Wow.
Wandering the streets at night. I knew no one. That's all I could do. There you go. Angel writes, and I've suffered out of body and sleep paralysis episodes since I was 4 years old. I never liked them and they scared me, so I learned to avoid them by never falling asleep until after I was exhausted and never sleeping on my back. These kept the episodes to a minimum. I never saw a shadow person until 1980 when my son was born. We were living alone and I woke to the familiar rushing noise that heralded an out-of-body episode. At least I thought I was awake. Knowing my son was in trouble, I was actually out of body when I raced to his bedroom, and I scooped him out of the crib as a shadow appeared under his bedroom door. Crutching my baby to my chest, I whirled to face this shadow, and it stood before me the size of the shape of a 4-year-old child, completely black. It somehow conveyed to me that it was just a piece of my son that wanted to be joined with him again, and somehow lulled me into wanting to believe it really meant no harm. I slowly started lowering my son towards his shadow, and it leapt up too eagerly like black fire. So I snatched my son away and told it no with every fiber of my being. Then a shining white being exactly the size and shape of the shadow appeared beside the shadow being, and both of them disappeared. Feeling like I'd passed some kind of test, I put my son back in the crib, went back to my bedroom next to him, and got back in my body for real. I was never troubled by shadows again, nor had any fear from my son's younger sister, born 5 years later. My son is now an adult and recently excitedly wanted me to watch a movie about shadow people with him. As we talked, he told me that he did see shadow people, but when he sees them, he's not afraid. He gets angry and chases them away like some kind of shadow hound. I had no idea he was still seeing them. I've been listening to your show since this Halloween, and I love it.
So, when you are having an out-of-body experience, does that make it easier for you to see other entities?
I would think if you're on some sort of other plane that your odds increase.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my guess.
Because the white shadow person is something I don't remember us talking about that before.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
Would that would that be more in the realm of angels where people are like, oh, I saw the glowing white person?
Well, it's hard to know.
We get a lot.
It's just a blob of white.
We don't get those as frequently as we get the shadow people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if it's as simple as, you know, dark bad, white good, you know, bright good. I don't believe that that's how it works.
No, but it seemed like the overall feeling that was given off by those was
sure.
Exactly that.
And maybe in that specific case, you know, that is how it was portrayed,
mm-hmm.
you know, or to her for whatever reason. But I think, you know, based on the stories that we have, that, again, it's not like all shadow people we're finding are bad.
Mm-hmm.
We find actually some fairly nice ones or non-threatening.
Sure.
Instances of them out there. So it's really, I think, on a case-by-case basis half the time, which makes us all the more confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Our next letter, hello, love the show. My story is about dreams of a past loved one. A few years ago, my grandmother that lived with us passed away, and before she passed, she would see and say creepy things and confuse and scare the family. One morning, she told my mother that she couldn't sleep because her two older dead sisters kept bugging her to go with them and that they were under her bed chatting too much, and that's why she couldn't sleep. My mom told me, but we both just brushed it off knowing what was going on, but remaining positive. A few days later, or a week or so, she was in the living room with me, and she was giggling, looking towards me and saying, "Hey, who's that guy behind you with a missing eye?" I stopped what I was doing and slowly looked up and turned behind to look, and nothing was there, no one. I replied, "There's no one, and I don't know who you're talking about." And a couple weeks later, she passed, and I went to the funeral but didn't attend the burial. Not long after, I had a dream. I was in the old apartment our family had many memories of growing up in. It was a two-story apartment. I went up the stairs slowly, confused, knowing that this is the old apartment, but had a curious feeling. I walked to our old kid's bedroom, empty, quiet, and I go to open the closet, and my grandma was sitting down on the closet floor. Seeing her, I knew in my dream she passed, but I wasn't scared, and I instead quickly pulled her arm and said, "Come with me and everything will be okay. Come on, let's go." Thinking if I found her soul or spirit, I could make things go back to what or how it was if she had came with me. She smiled and said, "It's okay. I'm happy here and I'm staying here." I kept tugging and pulling, but she just wouldn't come. And I started crying, waking up with sadness and tears, quietly sobbing that I couldn't bring her back with me, and guilty. Anyways, months later, I had another dream. It was a sunny day, and I was standing outside my present house and noticed my grandma was standing by the curb. I quickly walked to her and started pulling her again, saying to just come with me, and she tells me, "The bus is coming, and I'm going." Come with me. She smiles and says, "Look, the bus is arriving. Everything's okay. I'm going." I remember looking down the street and I see a yellow bus coming and the sun got brighter and I woke up. Yes, again, I was sobbing, but knew she was just letting me know she was okay, happy, and saying goodbye. I hope you guys like my story or stories. It's a long story, but I think it was a creepy one with a great positive outcome. Even today, those dreams still get me, but I just remain strong and positive. Thank you, guys. I hope to hear my experiences.
I love that the grandmother would just say random and creepy things to confuse the family.
I think it was not done with intent.
No, but that would be something somebody I know would do with intent. That would be funny.
I would do it with intent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would be like, all right, they think I'm losing it. I'm just going to start saying really crazy shit. In my own life, these sort of things happen with... Not exactly like that with my grandparents,
mm-hmm.
you know, to a certain extent. And it wasn't My grandmother, I mean, with that case, she had passed away, and she had a form of dementia and Alzheimer's, so that was to be expected. Mm-hmm. And that was a long, drawn-out, very sad process. If anyone has ever gone through that, you know what that's like. But my grandpa, when he passed, it was, he didn't have dementia. He was pretty with it, pretty much to the last minute. But those last couple days, those last week or so, it would be somewhat like that story where, who is that person sitting over there? Who, you know, I saw so-and-so and things like that of dead people.
Okay.
So it wasn't really, I don't think, dementia kicking in. It was some very weird interactions with the dead.
I think I mistook the story as she would just say random things and just to be funny.
I know. I think my guess is that she was having those experiences.
Okay.
I think she was near the end there, because a couple of weeks later she had passed. I think it was that those sort of things that seemed to start happening to a lot of people.
Sure.
Now, what I would do is, even if I know it's not my time, but just to mess with the grandkids, like, who are those people over there with pirate hats on? You know, just start saying stuff. Oh, grandpa's he's losing it. Like, I don't know. That'd be kind of mean. But,
yeah.
But, you know, that's sort of the stuff I do. Mm-hmm. Marie writes in, hey, Tony and Jenny, I have quite a bit of stories to tell you, but I'll tell you about this certain incident that happened a few years ago. My mom and I have always had psychic abilities, so we were used to hearing or feeling things, but I was always more open and accepting of it. I'm not sure if I'm in entity magnet because of that, or if my room is just a big freaking portal or something, but my room always has had bad vibes. I remember when we first moved in, how much I hated it. It felt so gloomy and dark. Anyway, they say that mirrors are portals, and my closet door consisting of four sliding door mirrors. So one night it was just too cold, so my mom, sister, and I all huddled together on my bed. Suddenly there's this loud bang coming from the inside of the closet, hitting the backside of the mirror door. It startled me. I convinced myself that maybe a toy finally fell over, and being stacked so high in the bin, I cover my head with the blanket because of a previous bad experience. I'll write about that next time, and didn't really feel like dealing with more spirits. Not even 5 seconds later, my mom jumps up and says, something just touched my foot, and it felt like a fingernail glide across my foot. It came from the closet. I asked if she'd heard the bang, and she said she did. We both got up and talked about it for a bit, then decided to go back to sleep. The next morning, the familiar sense of dark energy was in the same corner it usually is felt in. We already avoid my room in general because it never really has a good vibe, but we really avoided going in there after that night. Fast forward to a weekend or two after that night, and I went to bed around 3 a.m. My sister was already fast asleep in our room, but whenever crazy things happen, I always try to sleep next to her and try to protect her. Next thing I know, my leg is grabbed and pulled, dragging me a few inches down to the leg of the bed, and that was the first and last time something ever got that physical with me. That's it for that story. It's not much, but it's one of the craziest things to happen in my room. I'll get back to you guys about the orb, shadow people, voices, and two other crazy incidents that occurred in my room. Keep up with the amazing podcast. I plan on becoming an EPP very soon.
I want to know if they got rid of the mirrored closet doors.
Remember those?
Yeah.
They're always kind of
so
weird.
If you got something in the closet and you have mirrored closet doors, that just probably amplifies it.
You'd think.
I think.
You know what the ultimate amplification then for a haunted thing is? Those mirrors that, I don't know if they still have them, that used to be like at department stores in the clothing sections.
Oh, back and forth.
Yeah, there was like there was probably like, I don't know, six of them all like in a half circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could stand there and you see like an infinite number of yourselves.
Yeah.
Until it just kind of fades off into the horizon. I loved playing with those.
I did too.
But now it's really kind of a creepy concept. I haven't seen one of those for a long time.
At my grandmother's house, there's a Jack and Jill bathroom. So, you know, there's two bedrooms with the bathroom in between that has an entry. And both of the doors going in have mirrors on the back.
Oh!
I used to spend so much time pretending I was part of like a Rockette, you know, doing the high kick. Because it looked like an endless number of us doing the high kick and stuff
Yeah.
when I was little.
Yeah. That's cool. Those are Yeah, they're creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as an adult, they're creepy. As a kid, they're amazing.
They are.
But, yeah. When's the last time you saw one of those?
I think still at some of the department stores. But it's like, it's three of them. And they're kind of turned just so to where you can't get that full on.
It's not as cool as they used to be.
Yeah, it's not looking down an endless hallway kind of thing.
Yeah. That's like half the shit I would do when we go to like a department store as a kid with my mom. Tony, stop playing with the mirror.
Oh, I'd always be up in the middle of the clothes rack.
I would go there next. Ones. Yeah. Yeah. Then I'd do that and then I'd get yelled at for that too.
Yeah. I always knock shit down.
No, we're not buying candy today.
Mm-hmm.
It was like three things I knew he was going to get yelled at for. The mirror, the clothes rack, and asking for candy. It was the trifecta. Our next letter, Scott writes in, hey, I'm a brand new listener. I love the show. I had quite a few paranormal experiences in my life, especially when it comes to using a Ouija board. The first story isn't mine, but it's my mother's. When she was a teenager, she told me about a time her brother, my uncle, and a bunch of their friends played with a Ouija board. They were drinking and having a good old time with it when my uncle asked the spirit if it wanted a drink. The spirit said yes, and it wanted Jack Daniels. So my uncle went outside alone, and instead of giving the spirit alcohol it so desired, he poured water and went back inside. Once inside, everyone asked what he poured, in which my uncle replied, water, why? Apparently the spirit was none too pleased with the water, because while he was outside pouring the water, the board spelled out, Al's a effing liar. Moral of the story, if a spirit asks for liquor, it's wise to give them what they want. Fast forward a number of years to my 13th birthday party. I'm an October baby, so Halloween and all things horror are in my blood. To end the night, it was planned to play the Ouija board with all my friends. Leading up to my party, I had a great idea to rig up some things with fishing line to make it seem as if things are being thrown around to scare the living shit out of everyone. My mother and I set up a long curtain hiding those glow-in-the-dark 3D demon faces you could buy at any Halloween store back in the mid-90s. The plan was to ask the board to give us a sign of its presence and have the fishing line pull back the curtain and reveal the faces. We never got that far. As we played with the board, the curtain, which was covering the fireplace, kept slightly moving, and the fireplace tools kept ever so slightly clinging together. One of the kids eventually looked behind the curtain and ruined the surprise. We all had a laugh about it and got back down to business. My mother was on the board with me, with her back to the kitchen, and I was facing the kitchen. Everyone was near the board looking on, while the closest person to the kitchen was about 7 feet away from it, sitting on the ground Indian style with their back also to the kitchen. We also asked the spirit for a sign of its presence, and one of the bar stools in the kitchen violently moved itself about 3 feet. I couldn't believe my eyes. We all ran over to the kitchen and examined the stool, and while there was a fishing line around the leg from the earlier experiment. It had been cut and was only now about an inch long. There's no possible way for the closest person, who again was about 7 feet away, could have pulled it and made it move. Plus, when it moved, we were all just as shocked as everyone else. I'll never forget that night. Thank you for taking the time to read my story. There's a few more where this came from. Keep up the good work. Lesson there. Ghosts will take care of freaking out your friends. No assistance needed when you're actually messing with things that summon them. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Armita writes in, I've had a few unexplained events happen to me as well as my family, but the one I want to share happened when I was 12. I came to this country when I was 12 years old, and sadly it did nothing but bring misery to my life. A few months after I arrived here, I had a very traumatizing event occur to me, and after it, I wanted nothing more than to go back to my country, El Salvador. However, my mother and sister were living here, and so going back was not an option for me, since I had to be wherever my mom was. So then I did what any 12-year-old would do. I cried and cried and felt this incredible sadness consume me. Now, back then, I was pretty religious, and I'd become obsessed with having God hug me. I'd pray every day and every night for a comforting hug from God. I'd ask him to do it in a dream, and then I wouldn't mind. I was just so desperate for some sort of reassurance that everything would be fine, and thought who better than God to do it. One day, I had just gotten home from school. I remember I still had my uniform on and went into the room and knelt right in front of the bed and started praying and crying. remember saying between tears something along the lines of, I can't take this anymore. It's too much. Please, if you can hear me, I just need a hug. I just want to be okay. I kept saying things like that for about 5 minutes when suddenly I felt a presence, for a lack of a better word. It's so hard to describe because as soon as I felt it, I also felt something or someone embracing me. I can only describe it as a feeling of a bright light engulfing your entire body, but I did not feel fear. In fact, as soon as I felt that light touch me, I felt peace. I felt everything lift off my shoulders. I was crying before it happened, and the tears stopped dead on their tracks. It was just such an amazing feeling. To be honest, I am not sure how long that lasted, but as soon as it ended, I fell asleep right then and there. I didn't get on the bed. My upper body just flopped onto bed while my lower body was still kneeling on the floor. I slept for like 4 hours, and it was so strange because I never slept during the day. Not then and not now. When it happened, my mom was at work and my sister was with me. I was taking care of her until our mom got back from work. I pretty much left her by herself because I just fell asleep, but my sister told me that she didn't wake me because something told her not to. She was very little, so when she got hungry, she just got whatever she could out of the fridge. To this day, I think that whatever hugged me was also keeping an eye on my sister for me. I don't believe it was God that hugged. Actually, I knew as soon as it happened that it was not him. I believe it was an angel, my angel. I also believe it could have been a good spirit trying to comfort a weeping 12-year-old. I'm now 25 years old, and I no longer believe in God the way a 12-year-old me did. I believe in something or someone greater than us all, but I do not necessarily believe in the God most people believe in. I do, however, believe in ghosts and good spirits. I also believe that there are some spirits that latch onto you, good spirits that protect you from whatever might want to cause you harm. I believe those spirits to be our guardian angels. Thanks for reading my experience.
I think sometimes when there's just a ghost around, sometimes they can be helpful like this, you know?
I agree. I think it was one of those things where whatever you want to call it, God or nature or the world or whatever is overlooking you, your guardian angels or just a passing by spirit, really saw someone in distress that spiritually really needed some sort of uplifting feeling at that moment. Otherwise, something not so good could have transpired and gave her what she needed at that moment in time. And that's a good story.
I think it's nice to think that spirits keep that, you know, that emotionality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if that's a word, but, you know, if they keep the ability to have a heart for somebody.
Sure. And we hear a lot of stories of that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that experience. Jeff writes into us, I have three sisters, one older and two younger. My family and I believe in a lot of superstitious things, events, etc. We were always told my little sister Nicole was special in spiritual ways. My parents didn't entirely believe anyone until we had our family trip to the Philippines, where we're from. My uncle, who is a witch doctor, finally met Nicole. And he remembered his, I remember his eyebrows pinched and then relaxed into a smile. He told my parents that her third eye is open and strong. As she grew up, she had weird encounters, especially at night in her room, and would cry and run to my bedroom or my older sister's bedroom and sleep with one of us. At the time, Nicole was 5 or 6. My baby sister, Christina, was already 2 or 3, but was sleeping in my parents' room. When we asked her what was wrong, she said, it keeps bothering me and won't leave me alone. I left it at that, and fast forward to December of 2006. My grandfather passed away on the 28th, as so it happened. We were in the Philippines, where he retired and spent the holidays. My parents, my grandma, and my older sister and I were close to his bed surrounding him. My two little sisters were at the corner of the room with my grandma's maid. We were crying. Nicole, out of nowhere, said, Grandpa is still here. Marianne, the oldest, asked, where is he, Nicole? He's holding Grandma. My grandma was right across from me on a chair and holding his hand. I asked, how does he look? What does he look like? Nicole pointed at a portrait of my grandma and father's wedding picture. He was young and very handsome. Nicole said, he can still hear you. He's around us. My parents told us to tell him of the fond memories we had with him as kids, and we did. My cousins were on the phone and crying and telling their story.
"He's gone," Nicole said suddenly. "It so happened my uncle, the witch doctor, came in and told Nicole she can stop." She slumped over, and the maid caught her. We didn't realize it took a lot of energy for her to do what she had did. One of the funeral rosaries, it had gotten really late, and we were really tired. My parents told us to head home and go to sleep, to get our house from our grandparents' house, and we have to go through a dark alley, but it was our relative's home on both sides. The house was only three houses away, and as we walked, my Marianne held Christina, the baby sister, while I held Nicole's hand. I heard a loud thud and saw my older sister's outline fall in a scream. "Something grabbed my leg! Something grabbed my leg!" Marianne screamed. We ran to them, and I pulled my sister up, picked up Christina, and we ran for it. I had the house key ready and luckily got the door open, ran in and locked it. We ran into my parents' room, and Marianne was cleaning the dirt off her and Christina. They were left unharmed. Nicole was at the window, which faces the front of the house. "And what's wrong?" I asked Nicole. "The shadow man pulled Marianne," she said. "But don't worry." Marianne heard, "Why?" "Grandpa is fighting the shadow man," Nicole said while she's looking out the window. "How does Grandpa look?" I asked. "He's glowing in white and gold light," she said. "He's winning. The shadow man went to the ground." "What, Marianne?" and I said together. She was waving at the window. "Grandpa's leaving," she said. The whole time I was looking at where she was looking, but I couldn't see anything that she narrated. "We can go to sleep now." She took her place on the futon and immediately fell asleep. We're just so tired that we took our place and fell asleep as well.
I'm glad Grandpa was still around following the kids home.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder, did Grandpa know about this shadow man before death? Was it something that he learned about after and then realized that he needed to still be protective there? Or how did he come to be aware?
I almost think he was just following them home to make sure they made it safely, you mm-hmm. know, because they're walking home on their own. And then probably saw this shadow person do that and thought, oh, no, that's not going to fly.
That's one of those interesting things where in death, you're still learning, oh, there's shitty people here, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have to look out for them.
Yeah.
So, good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Delta writes in, "Hi, Jenny and Tony. My house is about 11 years old, and my family is the only ones to have lived in it. Since the first day we moved in, weird things have been happening. I got so used to these things that I attributed them to absolutely normal. It got to the point where I would ask people, is it normal for your lights to dim and become bright without you touching them? I'd always get the same response, no. When we first moved in, the TV would turn off by itself. Twice after turning off, they turned on right after, but I attributed that to faulty electronics. My house alarm has gone on many times by itself, and the smoke detector is currently resting on my dresser since it has gone off periodically and scared my dogs. Many houses in my neighborhood are always up for sale. There have never in 11 years. But there's never in 11 years been a time where a house wasn't up for sale. This, of course, may mean nothing, but people relocating for jobs, etc. But it is interesting to keep in mind nonetheless. Which story to tell first? I'll begin with one of the most bizarre. One day, while preparing dinner, I bent down to take something out of the oven. I noticed my son, who was 27 at the time, from the corner of my eye, standing behind me, dressed in black pants and a reddish large plaid shirt. With a hot tray in hand and still bent over, I said, just a minute, and then turned to face him, but there was no one there. This happened so quickly, and just for a split second, I thought I had just imagined it. I didn't think much more of it, but a week later, I had invited my family over for dinner. My sister, brother-in-law, and her two kids were over. My niece was around 26, and my nephew around 14. My niece was engaged and was eager to share with me her plans for her wedding. I have a winding staircase, and from my living room, you can look up and see on top of the landing. I have an open concept house, so you can see from one room into another quite easily. We decided for some reason to sit down on the staircase where it turned to go up. In this space, the stairs are wider, and it felt right to sit there and be able to see into the living room where my nephew and some family members were enjoying the company of the lit fireplace. As my niece flipped through the internet pages of bridesmaid dresses, I noticed my nephew stand up and walk up the stairs, set the top of the stairs just by the open hallway. He
He sat near the top of the landing. My niece and I thought nothing of it when suddenly he asked, "Aunt Delta, is your house haunted?" I said in a bewildered voice, "No, of course not. Why would you ask?" He looked at me quite shaken and said, "Well, when I was sitting down on the couch, I looked up on the landing and saw a boy standing there in black pants and a red plaid shirt." I froze and tried to play it cool. "Oh," I said, "that's just weird," I responded. He sat there, biting his fingernails and looking at me in an "am I losing my mind" stance. I felt sorry for him and wanted so much to tell him, "Oh my God, that's what I saw a week ago." That he just confirmed what I had seen was in fact a ghost. I did share the information with my niece, and we looked at each other and shook our heads. You see, my niece lived with me the previous year for 1 year and was aware of the weird stuff that went on. I'll share her experiences with you of when we went on a vacation and she stayed alone in the house for 10 days at a later time. They say that the youngest adolescent children going through puberty can experience the paranormal, which would explain why my nephew could see things. They tend to be in a state of transition and change, making them susceptible to the paranormal. I don't know who that young man was or could have been. I think he has since left, though, because of an experience I had a few months after that. I'll share that at a later time, but I think I'll call in next time instead of writing. Keep up the great work. Love your show.
Don't you just love it when you think you can write it off to something? Oh, I just must be seeing something until somebody else sees the exact same thing.
And then, oh, yeah, that indeed was a ghost.
Yep.
Got the confirmation you needed. Thank you for writing in and sharing that story to us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want bonus episodes of our show jam-packed with stories, feel free to become an EPP. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. It's only $5 a month. That's what keeps our show on the air. Our EPP support, get access to all nearly 80 bonus episodes up there. Access to all of our exclusive video content, the episodes of Seeing Ghosts that are out, and more. So if you like the show, basically support it. That's what we ask. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.